Aloha, everyone. We are a society, a global community that fearlessly explores taboo topics around our sensuality, intimacy, and sexuality. And this is Taboo Talks, a weekly conversation where we dive into taboo with leading minds of the new earth in order to bring shadow to light. And today we are so excited to be joined by this super goddess, Shashi Victoria, who is a renowned tantra teacher, facilitator, author, and filmmaker. And she has studied under Mantak Chia with a degree from Oxford in psychology and specialized in the topic of orgasms, which is the topic that we are uncovering this month in cis society. And if conversations like this excite you, please follow us here at cissociety.world or also listen to us via Spotify podcasts as we continue to break down the walls of stigma and liberate our truth. And here is our co-founder, Heather's joining us now, and Shashi is on the call as well. So we'll let her in the conversation in just a moment. You can just request to join and we'll add you in, Shashi.
Hi, everyone. I know, I'm so excited about this conversation.
Me too, and it's like right on time, right for Valentine's Day.
It's perfect. Let's all orgasm on Valentine's Day.
Well, yeah, I think it's super interesting because Valentine's Day is during Aquarius season, so it's really about community love, the collective love, not really so much about like focusing it just on one person. So I want to create a new holiday, like February 13th, just how can we embrace all of the love in our lives? How can we give love to everyone that we meet? Hi, Shashi.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, you Welcome. Too. Thank you.
Yes. Yes, so we're happy. It is really good to have you. Yeah, I'm thinking like a self-love day. Like let's start like spreading that out into the collective. Maybe the day before Valentine's Day or the day after. Or on Valentine's Day, if you're single, that can just be like self-love and appreciation day.
No matter what, just self-love. No matter what.
Totally.
Oh. Well, we're really honored to have you on the show to just talk about orgasms, tantra, love, whatever kind of comes through our channels. And let's just start off with a little grounding meditation. Heather, if you can lead us in that, just to anchor in this container.
Yeah. I would love the three of us and anyone watching or watching the replay to just join us by closing down your eyes and just beginning to connect to your breath. Yeah, you can notice the air entering your lungs, maybe the rise and fall of your chest, maybe the subtle tickle if you're breathing in and out through your nose. And just beginning to bring your awareness into the body, into this present moment, and seeing what's there. Noticing any sensations come up in the body. And if your mind is feeling active with thought, just bringing your awareness back to the breath, the beauty and spaciousness of our life force energy. And just love to guide us into one collective inhale. Everyone inhale. And a collective exhale. And one more, because why not? A collective inhale. Breathing in. And feel free to sound out anything that's not serving. And that was so delicious. So one more. Deep breath in. And release. calling in love and truth and pleasure into this conversation, letting it trickle through the space of deep vulnerability and conscious awareness. And when you feel ready, you can begin to open your eyes and come back to this now moment.
Hello.
That was beautiful. Thank you. Mm-hmm. When you were asking us to see something that is inside, I was just seeing this flame, just like a candle flame just in my like solar plexus. So thank you.
Wow.
Thank you for that. Beautiful. What about you, Shashi? What were you connecting with?
I'm feeling very Latino on the outside because I've been doing salsa, but on the inside, I'm feeling quite activated actually, because I'm busy creating a kind of performance event for Valentine's Day. So I'm like bubbling with like creative energy and excitement. Mm. Yeah.
Ooh, sounds delicious. Well, we'd love to hear more about, yeah, I know that you're very accomplished. You have so much going on and so much that you've created in your life, and maybe just sharing with the listeners a little bit more about who you are and your journey into where you are now and how you're really helping the world to liberate their pleasure.
It's been a long journey because I got into Tantra when I was 20. So I've been like more than 20 years in this field. But let's see, like in a nutshell, I've been weaving together Taoism and Tantra. Like I'm trained, I live with Mantak Chir. I apprenticed with him for a couple of years. So I'm one of his facilitators. Wow. I lived in the Oshawa Ashram for a few years. So I do the Neo Tantra, but I also train in classical Tantra and Tantric Yoga. So I really fused together like some of the more ancient paths with some of the Neo Tantra, and I have my psychology background. So I kind of got it all in there, some trauma-informed training in there as well. So yeah, my journey has been immersing myself deep. You know, I grew up English, quite sexually repressed and disconnected from my body and pleasure, and academic. You know, Oxford, you know, great place for many things, but not for being embodied. We were so in our heads. So when I got to India, when I had a gap year and went traveling, and I ended up in the Osho Ashram, I just like, I remember doing an interactive meditation, looking in people's eyes, and I bawled my eyes out for like 45 minutes. I just, you know, had been so disembodied and disconnected from my heart and my body. So coming back in was a deep healing process. So I haven't really stopped since then. and so I've written a book. I've made 2 documentaries on Tantra coming out soon. I've got a teacher training for women that I run twice a year. I do couples retreats. I teach at festivals. I live and breathe Tantra and Taoism. So I guess that's it, really. It's my thing.
There's not more?
But you have to get to know me.
I'm so excited to tune into these documentaries. I feel like that we need more of that representation in the media to really see what the true roots of Tantra are. And that's kind of leads me to my question for anyone listening, because that's such a hot topic now that's thrown around in the spiritual community, is the word Tantra. And most people just associate it with like sex or love. And I know that it's so much more than that. I would love to hear from your definition, maybe from both like classical and neo Tantra backgrounds, what Tantra really means to you or means.
Yeah. So, well, Tantra is a spiritual path. Originally, the word Tantra came from British academics. So we always like, oh, Tantra is this English thing. It actually came from British academics. But what they did was they noticed that in India, there were 2 distinct pathways of spirituality. The Vedic path that was more like monastic. And so to be spiritual, you had to overcome desire, rather like Buddhism, Christianity. Many religions say, if you want to be religious, you need to get out of the body, out of desire, go be a monk, and boom, you're gonna get to God. But in India, up sprung another path. I mean, not only in India, also you see similar things in pagan paths and things, but in India, up sprung some paths that said, how about spirituality for householders? How about we go through the body, through desire, through everyday experiences, and find God in and through everything? How do we do that? And so that's how there were like these two distinct pathways, and kind of all the different lineages that were existing in the time that the Victorian British got to India, they kind of put them all as Tantra. But then look, within that, you've got like Kashmiri Shaivism, you've got different lineages from the south of India and so on. But I think it's more helpful for us to see that this other path is so useful for so many modern people, because most people have a spiritual longing. They don't want to go and be in a monastery. They don't want to give up desire and pleasure and relating and all of these things. They want to know how to find spirituality within that. And so, you know, that's why the sex thing becomes so interesting to people, because most religions leave it out. Most religions say you have to overcome desire. You have to repress it, stop thinking about it. Just don't look at a woman or a man or whatever. Just, you know, just keep watching your breath. Just don't think of sex. And, you know, and you'll get to God. And sure, you will. I was a Buddhist before I was a tantric. It's a great path for that. But if you want to live an everyday life, then that's really, really hard to do. And people tend to get split then, where it's like, oh, well, I go to church on Sunday, or I go to the temple and I'm spiritual. But then I have this other side that wants to, like, I don't know, like have sexual fantasy or touch myself. And that split becomes very painful. And it forms like a dark and a light, where it's like, I want the world to see that I go to church on Sunday. I don't want the world to see that, like, what I'm fantasizing about. And then we create shadow. And so psychologically, we are then self-judging and cutting bits off. It gets messy. And I think people are just longing to be all of it. You know, can I not see this body as sacred? And it's not the same as hedonism, where you're just like, okay, Tantra means I can do whatever I want. That's not the case at all. Because we're really looking for, how do we find the sacred? How do we find the spiritual through desire and through the body? And so there's very distinct practices and pathways. You don't just do whatever you want. And that's, I think, what we sometimes see happening, is that people are like, oh, Tantra, that means that I can, you know, light some incense, put on some spiritual music and just like follow all my pleasure. But that won't necessarily lead you into spiritual states or a feeling of sacredness or states of meditation or anything. Other than a mess and a lot of processing, because there are specific practices to work with the energy body and so on and so forth. Yeah.
Wow. You're unpacking so much, and like, I really resonate with what you're saying, where you kind of like have these two desires, these two parts of you. I grew up in a really Christian family. I went to Christian college, and I remember when I started to have sex and I started to drink alcohol, I was like disassociating. I had this cognitive dissonance where I was like, I studied psychology as well. And so it was like really fascinating to experience that. And I was judging myself, and I had so much shame because I wanted to like be saved and be this good person. But then I felt like my actions weren't matching that. But then it felt like so honest and real, and like, this is being a human. And and so I just love that Tantra really allows us to go into our desires and to go into our pleasure body, because we are humans. And I do believe that we came here to experience being a human, or else we would have stayed in the etheric realm or had a different incarnation. And so in my life anyway, I feel like going into the desires and into the body is the medicine. But like you're saying, there's a distinct difference between just doing whatever you want and doing it with sacredness and intentionality. And so I'm really curious to hear you also share a little bit more around, what is sacred sexuality? What is the difference between hedonism and something that actually is a path of enlightenment?
You have great questions.
I'm so interested in all of this. It's like my pathway too.
Yeah, you've clearly gone deeply into it. You know, so like, I think a big one is like desire and energy. I think energy is real key. Like, one of the practices I teach is Qigong. So we do sacred sexual Qigong. So we're really working with sexual energy and doing different movements and breathing and learning how to move the energy. So desire has a lot of energy behind it. And that's why there's so much fascination about sex. There's a lot of desire. Wherever there's desire, there's energy. And that's what marketers know, right? So they're making a lot of money off people's desire. But when we completely project our desire outwards, we kind of lose ourselves. And that's hedonism. So if I see a gorgeous man go by and I project all my desire, or it could be like an ice cream that I think I want, but whatever it is, if I project all my desire onto the object, and then I basically give away my power to that object and focus on that, then we lose our center, and we might chase that thing. We might get it, but not feel fulfilled, you know, because we've given away our power to get it. The opposite of that is I'm going to repress my desire because I'm a good spiritual person, or, you know, or whatever, and just like get quite constipated, like with the energy, just like, I'm not going to look, I'm not, you know, just fight and battle our own human nature. And that also doesn't work. So what Tantra does is like, it wants to stay embodied. And both Tao and Taoist practices are looking, because they're looking at energy, it's like, we will let the stimulus stimulate us. It could be a fantasy, it could be a beautiful person walking by, it could be a pot of ice cream, whatever, but we let the external stimulate our desire, but we don't lose track of the source of the desire. And the source of your desire is inside of you, and that's called embodiment practices. So when we get turned on by something externally, instead of just like putting all our energy out there, we keep some awareness inside our body. That's where having meditation, yoga, qigong, all these things really help. And we notice, oh, I'm feeling like bubbles rising in, and I'm, you know, maybe my nipples are burning or my yoni is getting all electrical, but we stay aware of that. We breathe into that. And that way we're owning our desire instead of giving it away, our power, to the other person or the ice cream or whatever. We're actually owning our desire as ours, which makes it more conscious, more safe, more embodied. We stay present. We don't give away ourselves. We don't fall into addiction. We don't fall into projection. We're owning it and staying with it. And it's a whole different experience. You're no longer like so attached to whatever the other person wants. Like, if the other person's interested in you, you could have a beautiful time together, but you could just allow that person to like awaken your life force, and you just feel more alive. It's like, wow, that beautiful human being walked by and I feel more alive, and this is my energy and my life force. So we are really taking back our power in Tantra. We're owning desire. We're not repressing it. We're also not just following it like hedonistically and addictively, because addiction is ultimately painful. We think we're free if we can be hedonists and follow our desire, but we don't become free. We become addicted. And people, anyone who's just like addicted, whether it's to porn or drug or anything, feels disempowered, and they feel like they've lost something, and they have. And so tantric practice helps us to navigate this world that's going to stimulate our senses and activate our energy without losing our center. And that takes meditation and internal awareness.
That's so delicious. What was coming up when you were sharing that is just the concept of outsourcing our power to these external desires, right? And the path of Tantra is really a path of containment and embodiment and awareness, where you're feeling these things come up and you're holding them and you're allowing them to be so beautiful and vibrant and luscious without attaching to a specific outcome.
Yeah.
And that is liberating.
I've worked with a lot of women who were raped, but I've also worked with men that have been sex offenders. So I've worked with people in really shadowy places using methods that actually track back into the source within themselves. And then this tremendous spontaneous healing happens. There's trauma healing happening. There's like, we need to have our consciousness stay in our body to be safe. If it's projected outwards, we're not safe to ourselves or to other people. And you mentioned like conscious sexuality here, and it's like, that's what keeps us conscious. We need to be present with our own sexual energy. If we're not present in it, then it can become harmful. And that's what we see with rape and abuse, is we see sexual energy that's disconnected from consciousness, from ownership, and from own the heart. And that can really cause harm. But that same energy connected with the heart, connected with consciousness, held in embodiment, can really open each other up. And also we can contain it on ourselves without needing anything from outside. Your self-love Valentine's Day that you mentioned.
Yes. Oh, I love this so much. And I have a lot of Taurus in my chart. And so just like, I love all the sensual, like, you know, gua sha-ing and like breast massaging and just all the things that we can really like pour that love into ourselves. Like, I love that you're saying cultivate, use that desire, like that ice cream. It just like got me excited. It turned me on, or whatever it is, this beautiful man that walked by. But that doesn't mean we need to attach to needing to receive our desires from that person. It can just be like an activator, like it's turning us on, it's turning on our Shakti, it's like igniting our flame. And then we can use that sexual energy for anything. We can use it for our creations, our businesses, to pour into love, into our families, our friends, into ourselves. and exactly. and also in the bedroom, and also in love mm-hmm. and sex.
The irony is you don't even taste the ice cream when you're projecting outwards. You know, you like want the ice cream, but you're like grasping for it. Whereas if you're like, oh, there's that ice cream, what does that stimulate in me? Oh, I feel like whatever you're feeling from that. We've got an amazing vegan ice cream here in Costa Rica that's called like Choco Bliss vegan ice cream. And we've been doing our tantric meditations with it, you know, which means like feeling the expansion in the body, closing our eyes, like tasting it, feeling the texture, feeling it going down, making sounds. And it's like you make love to the ice cream. Feel the ice cream, you taste that ice cream, you know, whereas when you're just consuming and projecting your desire outwards, you don't taste the ice cream. And it's the same with lovers. People are grasping for sex, grasping for love, grasping for intimacy, but never really experiencing it because it's too much of a projection and they've lost touch with themselves. And you cannot have intimacy if you're not connected inside yourself, bottom line. Yes.
Let's talk about that a little bit more, like the analogy of you not really tasting the ice cream when you're just consuming it. Like, I would love to connect that with sex and orgasms, like the difference between just like a surface level orgasm and then a really deeply connected tantric type orgasm.
Yeah. Well, it's all in the ice cream, isn't it? You can if you're alone on Valentine's Day, you can practice with your vegan ice cream. Yeah, so the methods of having embodied sexual pleasure are you know, various practices of felt sense, which means, or we call it Shakti meditation in Tantra, which is like noticing sensations in the body, naming them. You know, I'm noticing a tingling around my labia. I'm noticing little warm sparks rising around my clitoris and breathing and sounding into them. Breath and sound move energy in a very interesting way. Like, as a psychologist, I also became really interested in how much we use sounding in Tantra, you know, like we did at the beginning in your meditation. When we're feeling sensations in the body, we breathe, we sound. And when you hear someone else sounding, you automatically know in your own body how they feel. Like, if your partner comes home from work and they fall in a chair and they go, oh, you know everything about how their day went. Mm-hmm. And if they flop in a chair and they go, you know how they're feeling. It goes straight into the midbrain, the old part of the brain. Like, I believe before we were linguistic, we were just like animals. So we would just be sighing and sounding. So when we hear, when we make sound and we listen to each other, we're tuning in on this more animal level that activates sexuality in an embodied way. Too much of sexuality now has become cerebral. So people are using porn, using fantasy. They're not even there, you know. They're just like, they're with this woman or with this man, but their head is imagining a whole other scenario. And so they're dissociated and not in the body, not in the moment. And it's just highly unrewarding, as you know. Like, the type of orgasm and pleasure you have in the body is never going to be impressive. It's just going to be a tension release. It's just going to be like forcing yourself towards climax. But when we go into the body and we start breathing, sounding, really dropping in, tremendous things happen. Healing happens, trauma release happens. But then after the healing part comes the most incredible pleasure that you've ever known, of like deep embodied orgasmic bliss. It doesn't just stop at the genitals, but can move through all parts of your body, that can blow your brains out, that can crack your heart open. And this is the kind of experience that tantrics are looking for, because it's like an embodied meditation that gives them a real sense of connection to the whole universe, to the cosmos, to, you know, to God, to the divine. It's not just an imagination in their head. It's like undeniable, you know, like expanded body orgasm is a reminder of where we all came from and this universe being interconnected. And so that's how it brings you spiritual experiences.
Wow. We're so interested. Heather and I have been talking about just full body orgasms, cervical orgasms, all the different types of orgasms that are available outside of a surface level or even just like a clitoral orgasm. And so I'm just really curious to hear more about the different types of orgasms that are available in these liminal spaces that we can experience. and maybe any like tips you have for someone in order how to get to these places for themselves.
It's a big journey. I just want to start by saying that. Yeah, it was my specialty topic when I was like qualifying as a tantra teacher in my tantric yoga school. So
yes,
it's
that's a great topic to choose. That's
a good topic. Because I was happy I got that. But yeah, so there's so many ways of classifying orgasms. And I also like to say in some ways they're unclassifiable as well. Like every orgasm is unique, but can be helpful also to understand them in different ways so that we can also explore what else is possible. So one way of categorizing them is through the body, as you spoke. And another is by looking at the physical genital orgasm, the energy orgasm, and the full body orgasm. I think I'll go through those first and then come back to the body types because it's more simple.
Okay.
The genital orgasm is the one that most people know. So when you're having a genital stimulated in some way, you touch penetration, and then it leads into an orgasmic release. So that's the kind of well-known genital orgasm, of which there are different types. But then there's something called an energy orgasm, and that starts to happen in Tantra, and it's far more mysterious unless you're in the world of Tantra, which is you could be fully clothed. You might not even be touching anyone, but you do something and suddenly you're like breathing and shaking. You're completely having an orgasm, but in your brain, you're like, how can I be having an orgasm? Like nobody's touching my genitals. But it is actually quite a normal occurrence in the world of Tantra, and we call it energy orgasm, and it's very liberating, releasing, and expanding. The third type is the two put together, which is called full body orgasm, which is when a genital orgasm leads into an internal implosive orgasm, rising up through the chakras or up through the body, and that's called full body orgasm. So that's one way to just like classify that I think is very helpful for people in starting on this path. And that, but then within the genitals, you know, it's important. I mean, I'll talk mostly about the female body here because actually the widest variety that a couple can have is through the female body rather than through the male body. And male bodies can have full body orgasm, by the way, and energy body. But when it comes to the capacity of different body parts, the female apparatus is way more complex because we can make babies, you know, potentially. And there's a massive potential for different orgasms. So the most kind of well-known in the female body is of course, clitoral orgasms. And, you know, that's because the clitoris is easy to find and it's full of nerve endings. And if you stimulate it, it will lead to orgasm. So it's quite easy as well for most to access. And that's rewarding, you know, when you want to have an orgasm, it's an easy way for most. I just say for most because, you know, there are all kinds of variations. But at some point, many women long to have more of an internal vaginal orgasm. And one main reason for that is it's the actual penetration and sex isn't so enjoyable for women if they are not having vaginal orgasms. And it is enjoyable for men. And so it's a bit of a mismatch if, you know, if we're talking about a male-female coupling, then it can be a bit of a mismatch that, you know, like both want different things. The woman's like, can I have my clitoral stimulation? And the man's like, okay, I want my penetration. And so it's like two different sets of needs. Mm. And it could be okay, but it's really amazing when there's a win-win situation, right? And for that, it's a journey for women to actually discover different types of vaginal orgasms so that penetration becomes pleasurable. And that's a win-win for both, because also when a woman's vagina or yoni, as we call it, becomes orgasmic, when a man penetrates an orgasmic yoni, it will also be realms of pleasure he never knew were possible as well, much more pleasurable than just a passive vagina. So it's a win-win situation for everyone. It's a bit of a journey to get there for a number of reasons. One of them being that clitoral orgasms are generally explosive, or what we would call just having a climax. So like tension builds up and then it explodes out. So that type of orgasm rarely floods through the whole body. It can happen. You can learn it. And some women are just lucky to have it, but most on the majority, that doesn't happen. So we have to kind of unlearn that. And for some women, it's like, well, if I don't have a clitoral orgasm, what am I going to have? Because I don't have pleasure in my vagina. So this is where de-armoring fits in, yoni de-armoring. Mm-hmm. And so I do a teach training for women, I mentioned, but it's like 1 month. It's actually in Tulum in Mexico. It's a whole month training. And there, every single day, we're doing jade egg, we're doing self-massage, we're doing de-armoring. We are giving so much attention. Mm-hmm. And what happens is, at the beginning, there can be numbness for many women. Behind the numbness, there can actually be pain. Like the first thing that we come across behind a wall of numbness can be pain and tension and all the places where our body has been like not ready to be penetrated. So our body's kind of like this, like braced. And so the whole vaginal wall can become kind of like contracted. And so there can be pain. And there can be emotional pain as well. And especially if there was trauma, sexual trauma, then that gets held in that tissue. But we've got to go through that to get to healing. So that's why we create, that's why we often do that as healing, not as a sexual act with a partner, but we create all women's spaces with only women around where we can do massage, do touch, do various forms of healing and let the tears flow and hold each other and move through that healing. And on the other side of that comes pleasure, and then comes full body orgasm and vaginal orgasms and squirting orgasms, G-spot orgasms, cervical orgasms. It's just, you know, there's gold on the other side. And it's, and sometimes very fast, sometimes like a G-spot orgasm, you could be like 1 minute like, ah, and then tears and then relief and then ecstasy. It can be a lot. I'm always saying to men, if you want your woman to be multi-orgasmic, you have to let her be multi-emotional.
Wow. This is, well, first of all, that course that you're doing in Tulum sounds so resonant, A, because I live here, and B, I've never actually had a penetrative orgasm before, only clitoral stimulated orgasm. And yeah, what's coming through is I've done a bit of de-armoring work, and I'm wondering if you could share some general practices just to get people who are listening started, because I've done it before, but it's really it requires a lot of time and patience and compassion. And yeah, I found myself when I was first sitting in that space, I was crying, and then I was feeling nothing, and then I was feeling a lot, and then I wanted to scream, to laugh, and then I was starting to feel some sensation come in. But if you were to kind of guide someone through just a very preliminary viewpoint of what that would look like, could you share a little bit more about that? Like, is it a daily practice? Do you suggest like doing it with a friend?
Yeah.
Like what would you guide us?
I find there's something incredibly powerful about healing with a space holder, and I'm a huge advocate of self-healing practices as well. I just always notice that doing a practice, and there's different ways to do group practice. There's one like on our group where we're all in a circle, all with our own jade egg. So we're all doing our own healing, but we're side by side, and there's that collective shared sisterhood of like, we've all had frustration, we've all had pain, and we're all in this together. That can be very beautiful. And then there's the one's holding space, like a massage, and the other one is receiving. I love that format, especially for deep healing and trauma healing, because the thing with trauma when it sets in is that trauma is when you are carrying too much, it's more than you can bear. And often that's when we were children or younger, but there was just too much for us to hold, and it gets lodged in the body. And like I'm pointing here, but of course it gets lodged in the yoni a lot of the time. And so that's why space holders are so helpful, because it can feel a bit scary, like at the moment old trauma is coming out of the body, because there's a feeling of overwhelm. And if there's a safe space holder there, they're like a mama, and they come and hold you, or they're just there close to you, and you can just kind of let it all out and have this space holding. So I'd say for anyone that has a sense that they've had trauma, because often we don't remember it, but if there's a lot of pain or a lot of feeling of blockage, then I would suggest to always at least begin with a space holder. And I would like to add in here, of the same gender. I do not think that it's a good idea for women who have sexual trauma to go and be healed by a man, especially the ones offering free yoni massage. It's just, you know, there are some great male practitioners out there, but when we're talking trauma healing and beginners, it's like, go for a female space holder and healer there's you know, nothing sexualized, nobody wants anything from you, and she knows what it's like to have a vagina too. There's some solidarity there. So I think that's very important that it's safe. But with yourself, if there isn't a massive trauma there, then you can do your solo healing, which it sounds like you've done. We use a lot the jade egg in our practice, which is a crystal that's been used a long time in Taoist lineage, made of jade. And there are so many practices with it, it's unbelievable. When I first bought one, I thought, oh, you just put it in and something will happen. And I was like, nothing's happening. But then I went and trained and I discovered, oh, it's actually you're very proactive with it. You have a kind of string through it. And so you can kind of pull on that and you do movements like a yoga class where you're contracting, pulling and moving muscles in different ways and releasing and sounding. So it's a proactive method. So my advice for anyone that's starting on de-armoring is to always start with the outside of the yoni. And in Chinese medicine and Taoism, the opening of the vagina, it's like there's like a reflexology like there is with hands and feet. And the opening is connected to kidneys, which is connected to fear and trauma. And then you've got the vagina and that's got different organs. And then at the top of the cervix is connected to the heart. Awesome. And so that's why cervical orgasms are very much connected to a surrender of the heart. And you need a good heart connection with a partner for that. But back to the beginning, the opening of the vagina is like a doorway and it holds trauma and fear in it. So some people sort of rush to get inside their vagina for yonring, or let's put fingers in and put our wand in, put our egg in and just start poking away. But actually, I find one of the deepest sessions that I lead with jade egg, you don't even put the egg inside. We're just using the egg and pressing like on a clock face and breathing and sounding different points around the opening. And it can be surprising how it's kind of a smallish space and yet you can move just like a millimeter and here there's no pain, and here you're bawling your eyes out, and here there's immense pleasure. And you know, we're really holding space for our most vulnerable part, you know, when we're doing this work. And I think that's also a really important tip that I would give is, as women, we can get a bit in our masculine, I've got to fix myself and I'll press here and I'll get it all de-armored, and this is totally not the attitude to have. We need for our hands to become the conscious masculine that is holding our feminine the way we want to be held. We need to cup frequently over our yoni and hold it. Like, this is probably one of the most healing things, is to like place your hand and hold and breathe and say to your yoni, you're safe, I've got you, I feel you, nobody wants anything from you, you know, I've got you right now. She needs that level of space holding. And we need to do some breathing and sounding in that holding before we start to like try to de-armor or remove anything. And we have to do a lot of listening into the body, feeling, is she ready, feeling into each point, pressing, holding, sounding, releasing whenever there's a contraction, and whenever there's a contraction, just holding again and just giving time for the yoni to relax open. You can't force, and this is for the men as well, you can't force a yoni open. You cannot force what's called like something, a yin orifice. For a man, that would be like the anus. You just can't force it open. That is always violating, always traumatic. You do not ever force. It just doesn't work. The only way to open a yoni or anything else that's vulnerable is safety. So that's why cupping a hand there and breathing and holding. So men who are listening, because I see some men's names popping up too, you can also do that for your partner, right? If you're a man and you're like touching your woman and opening up her body and then suddenly you see her contract, just put your hand, you know, if you're touching her sexually, just cup your hand over her yoni and say, I've got you, I feel you, you're safe, nothing has to happen, let's just breathe together. You know, just stop doing and moving and activating and just hold her until you see her body relax. This is what we need for healing. We need that presence, we need that safety, and we need that holding. It's the only way to open up. It's just like, somehow we're so active in our society, we always want to know what to do, what button to press, you know, it's like do, and then our yonis are kind of like, oh, you know, they're just enduring these techniques, and that doesn't work.
Wow, yeah. Thank you so much for sharing all of this. It like so deeply resonates. Your work is so important. I would honestly love to come and be a part of this month-long de-armoring journey. It sounds incredible. And it's really interesting that you're talking about the hand over the yoni, because just recently Heather and I have been on this journey of being able to just be organic with our orgasms and not relying on toys to give ourselves that pleasure, and just reclaiming the power and the magic that we have in our internal technology. And the way that I was able to really do that, the technique that I found was intuitively, I was just placing my hand on like the lower part of my stomach and on top of my vagina. And I noticed as soon as I held my hand there, I just felt so much safer. And it was like allowing that energy to move up into my heart space just by putting a hand there. So it's so cool that you brought that up. And I noticed that the safest place that I feel when I'm with my partner or with another man in like a sensual sexual situation is when he puts his hand on my heart. Mm. So almost like a hand on the heart and a hand over the yoni would just feel so anchoring and so safe. And something else that's come up for me is naming my yoni and really giving her own personality, and actually asking permission when I enter her and addressing her by her name and sharing her name with my partner and having him like address her by her name. And that turns my yoni on. Like, nice. She gets tingly and she wants to open up when she feels more addressed and more acknowledged and respected. Mm. Because how many times as women, especially those of us with sexual trauma, that's not been the case. It's just been an open door policy. And so just to put the power back into her, into ourselves and our pleasure, it really does. It's a game changer. It makes a woman wet. Like, we want that. The yoni wants that. It needs it, like you're saying.
The first definitions of Tantra, one of the Indian classical definitions, is the worship of the divine feminine. And it's not about just getting a statue of a goddess and bowing down. It's like, here's the divine feminine, you know? And that worship, and of course, the divine feminine is in male bodies as well as females. It's actually the living breath. It's the orgasm flipping through our body. It's like, it's the aliveness in the body. Shakti Ma, that life force energy, is the divine feminine. And we need to come into a place of awe, wonder, and worship and devotion to that life force energy. Instead of consumerism that we've come to, like, I can just buy it, consume it, I can download it in porn, I can buy this woman, I can, you know, like, I can go on Tinder, consume, and it's so unfulfilling for people, and it armors up the feminine body some. It actually armors up the male body as well, and men can also start to get a lot of numbness in their lingam from, you know, this kind of sexuality as well. So it's armoring up everybody, taking away everyone's pleasure and fulfillment. And so what you're talking about is so lovely, you know, like that actually to be seen, to be held, to be worshipped, to be honored, you know, to be named, to be asked before you're entered. These kind of practices and rituals that we do in Tantra are really transformative. When I was filming one of my movies, we had a couple who practiced Tantra, a married couple. And the man just had his hands on her knees and he's just gazing at her yoni with absolute wonder. And her body starts shaking and moving into this incredible orgasm. You can see it rippling through her body on camera. He's not even touching her yoni. He's just worshiping her with his eyes. And when I saw that when we were filming it, I was like, this needs to be sent out in the world. The world needs to see this. Because we're so used to so much going on, and it gets more aggressive, more violent, more over the top, but more far away from the actual intimacy that we're all longing for, you know. And that's the sad thing for everybody, is that what we've been given by society is very dissatisfying for everyone ultimately.
Yeah, it's so overstimulating. I'm hearing this story. Yeah, just peeling back of what's feeling resonant right now is how important it is to peel back these layers and come back to simplicity and love and the innate intuition and wisdom of our bodies, really. I was out recently and something has come online for me, being able to kind of sense when someone is outsourcing their power. And I was talking to this man and he was really leaning in and like, I could just feel his hunger. And a piece of me, the old piece of me, would have been like, oh my gosh, he's so into me. I love this. Oh, he desires me. But immediately my whole body and my yoni shut down. And she was like, absolutely safe. He's not contained. Like, he's not curious. Like, he just, it's like he had this kind of carnal, animalistic desire that is no longer working for me in my body. So this concept of simplifying is feeling so resonant right now.
And it's so good to recognize that, because you realize it's not even about me. Like, it's just, it's all about them. It's going to be really dissatisfying. I even taught my nieces, like, when they started dating, I was like, look, don't get too distracted about how the boy looks or, like, you know, how much money he has or whatever. Just notice how you feel in his presence, because that is everything. If you're relaxed and open and feeling joy in someone's presence, that's the place to go. And it's like, if I could only teach one thing to the next generation, I don't know, maybe they watch my videos and they secretly learn all about all this about cervical orgasms and whatever. But if I could only teach one thing to the next generation, then I think that's it, you know, that essence of listening to our own bodies and never forcing ourselves to open either, you know. If our body's relaxed and open, then that's a good space holder, you know. That makes a great lover.
Yeah, that's the truth of the relationship. I think, like, what I'm learning now or remembering to differentiate is how I can have a story of someone, like, oh, they're really beautiful and I'm attracted to them and my body should want to open to them. But that's completely different than how I feel when I'm around them.
And as women, we're such pleasers. We're so taught to, I think we carry this innate thing of, like, we'll only be loved if we have sex when we don't feel like it. You know, there's this deep kind of unconscious patterning in so many women that's how we get love. And it's actually such a disaster. It makes women hate sex, resent it, resent their partners. It's just, nobody wins. And so, you know, the whole thing does need to be rewritten, and that we can find that win-win situation where we're all authentic and embodied together. That's where the magic lies. Mm. That's it. We've got to stop consuming. We've got to start being creators and stop being consumers. Yeah. That's a big part, I think, of our humanity transition that's happening right now across the planet, actually. Not just in sexuality, but we can see it very much in sexuality.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, the safety piece is huge. I was just talking to my roommates about this last night, being around these certain people where it doesn't feel safe, because there's, like, a grasping, a leaning in, and it just doesn't just have to show up in a masculine, feminine, or like a sexual polarity. It can show up in infinite ways where someone just doesn't feel safe in their own bodies. And so they're looking for that safety, for that validation from someone else. And we've probably all been in this situation, but really when you anchor that safety within, then you don't have to lean into someone else to feel that. And I feel like in a really fulfilling sexual connection, both partners need to feel really anchored in their own safety, in their own safety, in their own pleasure bodies, and be able to communicate, this doesn't feel good, or let's try this, or I want more of that. And I'd be really curious to hear around, like, how can a man support a woman in, if she has a harder time with orgasming, especially with cervical orgasms, and how can a man really support a woman in that? Like, what does a woman need to reach that typically? And I know all women are different, so it's a pretty broad question, but I just do know, statistically speaking, women have a little bit harder time orgasming, or it takes them a little bit longer. So how can a man show up to support a woman in that?
It's a great question. I think it's a little too big to even answer, even if we had 2 hours, you know, because it's really a journey. I think it needs to be looked at as a journey. You know, there's actually, tomorrow I'm launching a tantric massage course, and I love how it's been designed, because the first part is healing, and the couples, it's for couples, and it's invited that the couples go through the healing massage. It's tantra massage. They go through the healing massage for as long as it takes before they move into the pleasure massage. So it's important that at the beginning they're not even focused on orgasm, because it can become like a pressure.
Yeah.
And then there's a feeling of inadequacy. I'm not good enough. I can't get that. Pressure is so unhelpful. Mm-hmm. So the first, you know, it's really a journey. And the first part of the journey needs to be, you know, focused on healing and presencing, getting embodied, all these things we're talking about, de-armoring, and that can be done, there can be stuff done alone, with your own gender, with a healer, and with your partner. I think it's good not to do all of it with you, not to try and do everything with just your partner, because your partner isn't your therapist. And like I said, I think that like going for good body work with another woman is also really helpful. I learned a lot about my sexuality in women's groups. It's why I teach them and I love them. And I, you know, they're still my biggest passion. Yes, I learned a certain amount from partners. I was initiated into Tantra by my first partner when I was 20, my first tantric partner when I was 21. But I went off and did women's groups and learned the Taoist sexual arts, and I feel that's irreplaceable. Like, you can't do everything just with a partner. You can't explore everything. You can't heal everything. In a way, with a partner, we just want to have fun and pleasure, you know. I mean, of course, there'll always be some healing. But also, I think for the relationship, it's important for sovereignty that, like, there's some of my healing I take responsibility for, and I'm going to do that with a healer. I'm going to do that in women's groups. And for the, you know, if we're talking heterosexual couple, then the man would go and go to a men's group. I mean, even if it's the same gender couple, they could still go off and work on their own. And I think it's important that you have that sovereign piece around your healing and finding your own orgasm, finding your own pleasure, even if you're in a couple. And then there's a certain other amount that you want to explore and do together. So I'd say that's important. It is wonderful for a man to support a woman. And one of the main things is learning about holding space, like I spoke about, like learning to read the body and to see whenever she just needs to pause and breathe and make feedback and sound. Cervical orgasm, you've mentioned a few times. So cervical orgasm is like the pinnacle of all tantric orgasm. One of the things I've really found through my own experience with it is it's so connected to the heart. So you can be a bit more technical with the G-spot and, you know, with a vaginal orgasm, an A-spot orgasm, you can just find the spot, you massage it a certain way and, you know, X, Y, Z, and you'll have a squirting orgasm. But when it comes to the cervix is the gateway through to the womb. You know, it is literally the portal that is going to choose whether to let a man impregnate you. I mean, that's physiologically what it's doing, right? It's like deciding whether to let sperm through or not. So, and in reflexology, it's connected to the heart. And so those two things are connected, like beneath whatever we think we want. So I just want to have cervical orgasm. Beneath that, our body is wired to surrender our womb open to the person who we feel a lot of love with and we feel heart safety with. And so there's a certain heart connection and safety and openness that is required for the surrender that comes, because cervical orgasm can feel like a death. I mean, all orgasm can, but it's so, can be so intense that that level of surrender, you need to feel very, very safe through a heart bond with somebody. So I always want to encourage people with cervical orgasm. Yes, you can do de-armoring and you can breathe in it and you can do all kinds of things. But ultimately don't get too technical, because when your hearts are deeply connected and you're really feeling surrendered into love together, that's the conditions where cervical orgasm is most likely to happen.
Wow. Yeah, thank you so much for bringing it back to personal sovereignty and responsibility. That's something that has been really on my heart as well, is like owning our traumas and owning our own healing journey and not outsourcing that to a partner. Of course, like, you're working consciously together to create more pleasure and more awareness and more healing just through the pleasure. I feel like that is the portal to deepest healing, just through the pleasure. But in terms of like our own healing journey, just really reeling that back into ourselves. And then when we're able to take responsibility for that, then that allows our partner to also take their own responsibility for their own. And then we can come back together and form, you know, this next level sexual relating. And that's been happening a lot with me and my partner. I had definitely some sexual trauma happen to me when I was young that I'm working through. And I want to know, like, do you think it's possible to give yourself a cervical orgasm with a wand or some sort of like sex toy? Or do you think that that's only really possible with like that heart connection with someone else?
I'd say it's just different. You know, you can certainly activate energy through the cervix. It's very orgasmic with a wand, with breathing, for sure. And it's going to be different with a lover, where there's also a flow of the energy in the form of love, right? A wand is a wand, and of course it has energy if it's made of crystals or whatever, and the physiology is there. And what we're doing energetically, for those that aren't so used to like that idea of energy orgasm, is that the tantric energy is seen as like the earth energy that rises up towards the sky. So just like the same energy you see in plants, it's like pushing them all up, and all trees and plants are growing up towards the sun. There's a life force that bubbles up through our perineum and into our genitals. And with contractive orgasms, we just kind of get turned on in our genitals, and then we push that energy back down to the earth. But with a tantric orgasm, we learn to expand and relax and expand and relax. And then that energy can rise up, and it pushes up through the chakras, and it pushes up through the heart, and it kind of like creates these fountains, and it can rise up through the higher chakras. So just to put that context in there, so when we're doing self-pleasure or working with a wand, that life force can come up from the earth, and it can, you know, resonate through the cervix, and we can have beautiful experiences on our own that are involving the cervix as a portal of that full body orgasm. And it's just going to be different when there is another human being, if there is that our lover that we love very much. And, you know, like I talk about the lingam going in and touching the cervix, but of course, you know, lesbian couples could also achieve that with a strap on and or a hand, and using intention of moving love energy through that. So just want to say that, for there's not a lot of lesbian tantra represented in the world, so I like to mm-hmm. I like to speak it out when I can. Like, I've Googled it quite hard for my film when I was looking for people to interview, and there's not a lot out there. But, you know, in the heterosexual couple, the man would send energy from his heart down to his genitals and out of his lingam, which means wand of light. And the tip of the penis, the tip of the cock is hitting on the cervix, not hitting in a painful way, because that's when it's armored up, but like energetically penetrating. And so there is an energy coming from his heart, loving his woman very deeply and really wanting to enter into her most deep, vulnerable self, and wants to penetrate her heart. And that's a human thing, you know, that no wand is going to do that. That's like love. That's like, I just want to penetrate to the core of this woman and feel like there's a yearning to like feel her heart through the sexual penetration. And that is irreplaceable. And it's that union of two, and the woman surrendering to that desire, that woman surrendering, and then the cervix can then have like amazing eruptions of orgasm, which go straight up to the crown. Like, they're very implosive. That's why tantrics love them so much. It's like gonna totally blow your brains out and expand your consciousness. And both people in the couple feel it. It's not, even though it's the woman's cervix, because of this love and this connection, that both people in the couple will go into this expanded experience together. So it's a shared, you know, expansion of consciousness that happens, that makes it so very special.
This is so beautiful, and we could keep talking about this. And I love the idea of just a man using his cock as his magic wand to literally send healing vibrations from his heart to penetrate a woman's heart. It's so beautiful. We have 1 minute left, and then this conversation is going to end. So I just want to give so much appreciation, gratitude for this really juicy drop-in with you, Shashi. And for those of you listening, this is The Society, and we have these taboo talks every Wednesday with different leading minds of the new earth. Every month is a new topic. So you can follow us here on Instagram. And also, we have a private WhatsApp community where we deep dive into all these topics more. So please send us a DM if you want to be added to that. Shashi, what's the best way for listeners to connect with you for all of your offerings?
I'm all over the place. I mean, if they look up Shashi Saluna, they'll find me. I have shashi-saluna.com. I'm on Live Tantra. That's easy. LIVETantra.com. That's maybe the easiest place. The Tantric Couple. Yeah, Google me. I'm findable. I have a podcast, Tantra Made Easy.
Amazing. Tantra Made Easy. Yeah. Okay. Definitely. And I'll link this all in the show notes as well. Thank you so much, Shashi. Really appreciate all of this and your heart.
I've so enjoyed. Thank you for sharing your depths and your wisdom. I really feel the journey that you've been on and your own wisdom here in this conversation.
Yeah, this was such an honor to have you. Thank you for your time and energy and the work that you bring to this planet. It is just so